We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It's February 12th. It's 2021, and we have 11 NBA games to talk about here on today's slate. We are presented by Monkey Knife Fight. If you guys haven't checked them out, they are the fastest growing single player DFS site out there. You can sign up for through our link. It'll be in the description of the podcast. Get a matching 100% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit. I'm joined today by my good buddy, Genie for 07. Grant, how are you doing, my friend?
I mean, I've been better. Frank Mason did not treat me well, as I'm sure half of our listeners are in the same boat as me. It's always weird. So in GBPs, at least over on Super Draft, I end up, like, I only make late swaps on the $15 price or $15 entry. And so seeing all my teams in the $4 and the $1 that were all in the $15 before I swapped over to Mason are absolutely crushing, and so I know for a fact that those late swaps at around 9:30 Eastern time did in fact cost me a lot of money.
That's always like awesome to like feel, right? Like, that's just great.
So, yeah.
Listen, I didn't play Frank Mason, but I played Dennis Smith Jr. So same outcome. Different players, same outcome. Listen, we got 11 games. We got a lot to talk about here on this slate. We got some back-to-backs. We got some injury news we're waiting on. A lot of stuff. Minnesota at Charlotte is where we start. No total in this game. Culver and Russell are out, and Graham is questionable. I'm guessing Graham being questionable is why we don't have a line. What's your thoughts here on Minnesota?
I mean, not a huge fan of anything with Cat back in there. Kind of eats up the usage. I mean, even without Russell in there, like, they still got Beasley, still got Edwards, still got Rubio. They still got everyone that's kind of priced how they should be. I mean, it's the same anytime you get a player that's been off for a while, that's a star player, needs a ton of usage. So, like, Beasley's price tag is not something that I really want to pay 7.1K for on an 11-game slate. Same thing with Edwards, Rubio. I just never really want to play. And all the rest of the guys in here just don't really seem worth it because, again, they're priced up a little bit. Towns, I could see playing in tournaments. I mean, it's not a bad matchup going up against Charlotte. Like, not great defensively, not great versus bigs, and Towns can always get done in any given matchup, especially with that Russell in there to eat up some of the usage. But I'm a little bit worried about his conditioning. I know he played 31 minutes. Yeah. If he's only going to play 31 minutes, yes, he can hit value, but it's very unlikely at 9-3. So I'm just kind of full-on fading Minnesota. The only thing I could possibly see doing is if Graham somehow gets ruled out, if I'm bringing it back with Melo and maybe Zeller, then I could see using Towns. But more than likely, I'm just full-on fading Timberwolves.
Yeah, it was encouraging to see Towns play that amount in his first game back. But overall, I'm with you. I don't love Minnesota in this game as a whole. If I'm taking shots on anybody, it's probably like Ricky Rubio, but like, he's 6K now. So like, I don't see a ton of value there either. So probably going to pass on 11 game slate on Minnesota here. What's your thoughts here on the Charlotte side of things?
I mean, the Charlotte side, looking at LaMelo Ball's price tag, I mean, if Graham ends up missing, I could still see playing him. I mean, we've seen him put up a triple-double before this year. We've seen him play 32-plus minutes in matchups here, and he still put up 60. I think at this price tag, he still has a little bit left in him, a little bit of upside, and can absolutely crush in this spot here going up against Minnesota if this game ends up staying close. So it's predominantly him. I'm not chasing the Rozier game where he goes off 46. Yes, he has a little bit of upside. His price tag is terrible, but it's probably at the point where you're not getting a ton of upside from him, and you're not getting – and the downside is actually pretty big. Hayward, a lot of his usage is getting eaten into with Melo out there in the starting lineup. So 7-3, I'm going to pass on him. Bridges, Zeller, PJ Washington are all fine plays, but if I'm going to play anyone, it's probably going to be Bridges. Put up over 34 in three straight games, priced at 5.8, which isn't a bad price tag when you're getting that production. And then Zeller, I mean, his minutes have been down a bit recently. We were getting 30 minutes out of him every single night. And yes, there's been some blowouts, but I'm not sure I can fully trust it right now. So it's really just LaMelo for me. If Graham's out, if Graham's in and they go with the starting lineup of Graham, Rozier instead of Melo, then I think that Graham does offer you a little bit of potential with his price tag of 6.3.
Yeah. I think honestly, if Graham plays, I'll probably be off of Charlotte as a whole here. If he sits, I don't mind LaMelo. You know, you talked about Bridges at 5.8K. Those are the guys that I'd probably be looking at the most here if we get news that Graham's going to sit. So I think it's just really just going to depend on like the Graham news when it comes to the Charlotte side of things. You know, outside of that, like, you know, PJ Washington, let's see the minutes come back and like, let's see the consistency come back before I think we start targeting him again. But overall, this is not like my favorite game on the slate. Knicks at Washington facing the Wizards. Nick Lachina is out. Bradley Beal is out and Thomas Bryant is out. Let's start with the New York side of things. Anything that you like here for the Knicks?
I mean, we always want to play teams against Washington and we never really want to play New York that much. So it's a weird spot here. I mean, this guard rotation is just far, far too, like, no one's getting in 10 minutes. I mean, Payton got, like, 27 in the last game. Rose got 20. Quickly got, like, 17. Burks only got 24. So the guards, every single one of them, I'm just entirely crossing off for the near future unless there's injuries or huge pricing discrepancy. They're all done for me. That includes Barrett, who only got 27 minutes in the last game, only got 19 in the game before that. So really, it leaves us with one person in a fantastic matchup going up against Washington. Randall still playing 37, 38, 39 minutes every single game that ends up staying close. It's a fantastic matchup versus Washington. While his price tag is up there a bit, 9.1K in a match versus Washington. And we've seen him go over 50 multiple times in the last six games, and this is a fantastic matchup. Realistically, he has a triple-double upside here. He can crush in this spot. So Randall's the one guy I want to play. I'm crossing off everyone else from the Knicks.
Yeah, like Randall is like, I feel like we say this every day, but I feel like he's the one Nick that you can trust and that like has the ceiling to win you a tournament. You know, Barrett at 6,100 is somewhat interesting. But like even in a close game, you know, not too long ago, like he's still not playing like a ton of minutes. So like it's like, you know, what's going on? I don't know. So I think Randall's really the only guy that you can trust here. And overall, like, you know, you don't even love it at 9,100, but we're going to play a lot of Westbrook. Let's just be honest. We're going to play a lot of Westbrook. So playing a lot of Westbrook, we're definitely going to be looking at somebody to run it back with like Randall. Washington side, let's start with Westbrook. Like, no Bradley Beal. Like, we're playing Westbrook.
Yeah, no, pretty much Westbrook without Beal on the floor. 39.7% usage rate. You know what Beal's usage rate is without Westbrook on the floor?
The same.
The exact same. I thought it was funny. Meansy,
funny how all that works out, right?
Well, I mean, it's literally the exact same. Meansy posted something online, and he's like, who is this? And immediately I'm like, or what duo is this? I'm like, Beal and Westbrook. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was Beal the entire time. And I look at the true shooting percentage of 46%. I'm like, oh, All right, that's Westbrook. But yeah, Westbrook close to a 40% usage rate without being on the floor. Pretty much a lock for triple double. Just hammer Westbrook. I mean, anyone else that you want to end up throwing in, I'm fine with, but not overly enthusiastic about it. I mean, Bertans can end up getting a little bit of extra run without Beal in there and can end up shooting lights out like we've seen him do before. But so far this season, which really hasn't happened. Hachimura at 5.7K, he's going to play a boatload of minutes. I'm not going to argue with that, but it'd be more of a game stack if you bring it back with Randall. So, I mean, you can pick any one of these pieces. None of them are really great options. The entirety of this offense is going to be Westbrook, and so if you want to take a shot on anyone else, it's predominantly a game stack thing.
I think is this a game that Ish plays point guard and Westbrook plays the two?
I doubt it.
I don't know. I think Westbrook, just give me the expensive guys from this game. Hope this game stays close. Hope it's really high scoring, and just give me Randall and Westbrook. San Antonio at Atlanta. 228 total here. Atlanta favored by 2 in this one. LaMarcus Aldridge remains out. Bogdanovich done. Hunter and Rondo remain out for Atlanta. Let's start with the San Antonio side of things. What are we looking at here for the Spurs?
I mean, still the same thing. It's the Spurs, and they're without Alan May. We know that DeRozan has a massive usage rate. We know that Murray has massive upside and massive downside in any given matchup. And we saw him put up 62, and then the same matchup the next day, put up 14.5 points. So all these guys are kind of in play for tournaments. I think DeRozan's a lot more in play in smaller field tournaments and bigger field tournaments. His price tag of 8K is a little bit too cheap without Elman there. Poeltl had a rough game the second night of back-to-back, but the first game versus Golden State, he put up 36 points in 30 minutes. His price tag of 5.7K, probably a bit too low here, but I mean, it's a decent matchup going up against Atlanta. They're near the middle of the pack in both pace and defensive efficiency. So Poeltl, Keldon Johnson, who always offers you some upside, especially at 5.8K, Murray, DeRozan, all in play. And then White, I'm a little bit worried about his minutes and the minutes of everyone else, considering that White's probably not going to get a ton of minutes, and the two spot is probably going to end up being spread between a few guys.
It's always a matchup against Atlanta. This game should be super solid. You mentioned Poeltl. You got to kind of throw out that second end of the back-to-back against Golden State. The Spurs just kind of got ran out of the gym in that game. I think DeJounte Murray, DeRozan, all these guys are worth looks in tournaments. What do you like here for the Atlanta side?
I think there's a good spot for Capella. I mean, obviously going up against – he didn't get run the other night because, for one, he got into foul trouble. And for two, he was just getting destroyed by Porzingis. So I wouldn't really look into that last Dallas game. It's a matchup versus San Antonio, much better spot for him. Poeltl's really not a ton that he's going to have to deal with, at least on the on the defensive end here. On the offensive end, he's still got some upside. I know that he's been getting kept to around 30 minutes in every single game, but a few of these games have been blowouts. And 30 minutes out of Capella at 8.1K, his price tag has just kept going down and down and down. He was 9.4 back when he was playing 35 minutes. So dropping down to 8,100, I really like him in this spot here. I don't think he's going to come in very highly owned, and I think he could crush. Trae Young, any given matchup, can absolutely destroy. I mean, he's putting up 20 shot attempts a game. He's getting a double-double nearly every single game. Trae Young at 10K. The problem is, do you really want to pay for him on an 8-game slate? So he's mostly a bring-back guy for me with DeJounte Murray or DeRozan or Poeltl or any of these guys, and a guy that I'll be using in game stacks. Outside of that, Collins at 7.7K. I know he had a big game last night. I know he's had a few decent ones. But 7.7K, I think his price tag's about where it should. So, again, mostly a guy that I'm using and bring back. Outside of that, Reddish, Gallinari, Herter, with all these guys in here, I know Herter's been doing really well recently, and it's not a bad matchup going up in San Antonio, but 6K, his price tag has kind of reached where it needs to be, even with these other guys out. I don't know if you're getting a ton of upside there. So, it's predominantly Capella is by far my favorite, and then Trae Young and Collins and runbacks.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Capella, definitely my favorite. Trae Young. And then John Collins is that guy when you end up in that range, you're oh, I guess I'm going to play John Collins today. I feel like that's the only time that I play him. I don't ever go into a slate hey, John Collins is the guy I'm playing today. New Orleans at Dallas, 233.5 total here. Dallas favored by 2. Both these teams, full strength, ready to go. What are we looking at here for the Pelicans?
For the Pelicans, I mean, Lonzo's by far my favorite. He's just he always offers you upside at his price tag. I mean, no, it's gone up a bit. He's all the way up at 6'7". But put up 43 points in the last game. He's put up 15 real-life points in 4 straight games and can always contribute a ton in the peripheral stats here. It's a good matchup versus Dallas, ranking near the bottom in defensive efficiency, right in the middle of the pack in terms of pace. So 6.7K for Lonzo, I think it's too cheap of a price tag. Ingram and Zion, like, both them are priced where they should be, 8.2 and 8K. They always offer you a bit of upside, probably more Ingram than Zion recently. Zion's more the guy that will just get you 40 points and you're happy. Ingram always offers you a bit of upside. So I'm full on fading Zion, I think. Like, he always draws a decent amount of ownership too. It's pretty much ball. Like, ball and throwing Ingram if you're bringing it back with Luka. And that's it. I mean, Bledsoe at 5.6K. He'll occasionally get you a 35, 40 point game. But the rest of the time, he's just giving me 15. Adams hasn't shown much upside at all pretty much this entire year, pretty much maxing out at 3K. Josh Hart, do not chase that 53-point game. Like, that's not going to happen again. He played 40 minutes. It was against Houston. Zion and Ingram, I think, both got into foul trouble. So he just played 40 minutes and played out of his mind. He got 17 boards. Never going to happen again. 4.7K is about where he should be priced at. Occasionally give you some upside, but not a guy that I want to use here too often. It's mostly just a bring back occasionally in game stack. So Lonzo.
Yeah, Lonzo would be my main target. I think Zion and Ingram, they have ceiling, but they're both kind of overpriced. I think overall, like, this would be a spot that, like, I'm probably playing Lonzo. Adams' minutes are all over the place. I know a couple of these games haven't been close, but yeah, Lonzo is probably my main target from this team. Let's talk Dallas. You know, obviously Luka's there. Porzingis, he's had a couple big games here recently, but I feel like it's like you're playing Luka or you're probably not playing a lot from Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always, never going to argue with a shot on Porzingis in tournaments. There's always a chance Luka has an off game or Porzingis just has one of his big games that gets hot from shooting, especially from beyond the arc. But not someone I really want to use. Luka is the guy. And I mean, 10.9K still offers you upside. New Orleans, it's still pretty far down in terms of pace. But they started so far down and they've been playing at a much higher pace recently. And they're still 26th in defensive efficiency. So Luka has 75 point upside. No arguments with using him here. It's just, it's tough to pay on an 11 game slate. Well, it all depends on what salary savers end up playing, which we'll have no idea because the Orlando game isn't even finished yet, I don't think. And we have no idea who's going to be playing tomorrow. It's the second end of back to back. So yeah, there could be some value. If so, Luka becomes a fantastic play. If not, it's going to be a little tough to fit him in.
Yeah, like Luka, you know, it's always going to really be determined by like what you're looking at as far as value. So moving on, Detroit at Boston. It's back-to-back for both these teams. We don't have any injury news. Obviously, Marcus Smart's going to be out. Mason Plumlee was out for Detroit on Thursday. We'll have to see if he's back. What are we looking at here for Detroit and Boston?
I mean, I never have a problem playing Jeremy Grant. I know I had an off night last night, but the game turned into a bit of a blowout, which is a distinct possibility here too. But it kind of all, like, kind of depends on Plumlee. Like, Wright, Jackson, Grant are all fine plays. They don't stand off as good plays. I'm throwing them in if I'm stacking it up because I need Grant, I need Wright to both play the entire game if they're going to end up making values. But this isn't as good a matchup as it was yesterday. Like, Wright is probably priced where he's at, and so is Jeremy Grant. They both got a little bit of a price increase. So both of them I'm kind of not planning on playing. Plumlee will make this a little bit more interesting. If Plumlee plays, not playing Detroit. If Plumlee doesn't play, then obviously Stewart, even playing the second end of back-to-back, like, he's a guy that just doesn't get a ton of run. So he actually does get run. he ends up crushing. Like, he does a lot of stuff. He shot 9 times in the last game, played 30 minutes, got 7 boards, put up 33 fantasy points. If Plumlee is out again, which he was a late scratch, so I don't have any idea with Plumlee. If he's out again, then Stewart probably becomes a de facto shock and probably is worth it, especially if Blake doesn't end up playing on the second of a back-to-back. If he does, then I don't hate playing him, but I don't think he'll get up to 30 minutes. So not likely a guy that I want to have. It's pretty much just Stewart.
Yeah, like, and obviously to play Stewart, you're going to need, like you said, Plumlee to be out again. So we were talking about DSJ yesterday. He played 16 minutes. Stewart obviously would be a good play. Maybe you take a shot on Josh Jackson in tournaments, but overall, I think like Stewart would be the guy, and it's really it. Like, you know, you can always take shots on Grant, but I don't even know if this game like stays particularly close. What are we looking at on the Boston side?
I mean, it's not a bad match versus Detroit, but again, I'm more worried about a blowout. Everyone's kind of priced where they should be. I'm not chasing the semi game. Like, I know he had a fantastic night, played 30 minutes, but predominantly he's right around 10, 15 points, even at 3.1K. I don't know if I want to go there. He shot 6 for 8 from behind the arc, 8 for 12 from the floor. Like, if he gets the start, I'm not going to argue with it, but I think on the other side, might be a better play. Plus, there could be a decent amount of cheap plays that end up opening up in the later game. So if he gets the start again, then sure, go ahead. But I don't know if I really want to. Tatum, Brown, Walker are all kind of pressed where they should be. I'm a little bit worried about Walker on the second end of back-to-back. I don't know if he'll end up playing. So if he's out, then I think that Tatum and Brown are fine, but you're pretty much running it back with Grant or Wright just because you need that game to stay close for those guys to get a full complement of minutes. Tice, second of a back-to-back, 4,800. I know put up a good game, but priced at where he should be. This is a game where if Kemba ends up sitting, then I could see one or two game stacks, but mostly I'm going to stay away from this one.
Yeah, you know, if Kemba sits, like, I don't even know who we end up on. Like, maybe Pritchard at 3,800 because he might get minutes in a game that doesn't stay close. So maybe he's the guy we're looking at in tournaments.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about him. I'm surprised he's still 3.8K. I figured they'd price him up, but yeah, he had a decent night last night, played 29 minutes, and they have no reason. He's young. There's no reason not to play him a decent amount of minutes on the second and back to back.
The Clippers and the Bulls. 228 total here. Clippers favored by 6.5. Paul George remains out. Wendell Carter Jr. is doubtful. Dotson, Markkanen, and Porter are already ruled out. What do you like here for the Clippers?
Kawhi. I mean, without Paul George in there, 9.5K still gives him a pretty decent ceiling and a fantastic floor. If this game ends up staying close, it's a great matchup versus Chicago. Not a great defensive team, one of the fastest pace teams in the NBA. So Kawhi immediately is a guy that we automatically think of whenever Paul George is out. But Lou Williams has been getting some decent run in the last few games without Paul George, 29 minutes and 29 minutes. Put up 39 each of the last two. He got a price bump up to 5,800, and maybe this is one of the games where Lou Williams just screws me over, but the minute increase is there. The extra production is there without George in the game. So I have no problem playing Lou Williams, even though he is a little bit more expensive than he has been. Serge, Zubac, both of them splitting minutes, not really something I want. Reggie Jackson still priced too high since his little stint as a starter. 5.4K, even if he's getting 27, 30 minutes, is not enough for me. Batum, it's fine. Like, he's going to get minutes likely. He can put up 30 points, but you're probably not taking down a GPP with Batum. So it's pretty much Lou Williams and Kawhi are the two guys I want.
Yeah, Lou Williams at 5,800, obviously a solid play here. And then, like you mentioned, Kawhi, with Paul George off the floor, just a uptick in usage, great matchup. What, 4 or 5 steals in this game against Chicago? We'll see. Chicago Bulls side of things, like with all these guys out, Zach LaVine has been playing really, really solid. Talked about him against New Orleans the other day. Continues to just put up a ton of shots each and every night. If you're looking for a little bit of a run back, I think he's kind of the guy. I think Thaddeus Young, and I know Kobe White's having a, coming off of a monster game, but I think they're too expensive.
Yeah, I don't hate the Kobe White price tag. It's going to kind of depend on ownership. If people are going to be chasing that game. He went 8 for 7. He put up 8 threes last game. Like, he put up 17 shots behind the arc and made 8. Prior to that, I mean, he has, I don't think he's had 10-plus three-point attempts all season long. So he's fine. Like, the increase in usage is nice, and the minutes should be there, especially with all the other injuries. And the increase in usage could kind of stay there, but I'm not expecting him to run that hot. So his price tag of 6.3K is probably about right. And so, like I said, it's going to depend on ownership. Zach LaVine, been absolutely fantastic recently. Like, last 4 games, averaging over 50 points a game. Has big upside in any given matchup. Love LaVine, especially as a run back. Outside of that, like Valentine, Williams, like Thad Young's not going to get more than 30 minutes. Valentine got moved to the bench, and unless he's going to get 35 plus minutes, his price tag of 5.4K is far too high. If I'm bringing it back with any, or bringing anyone else in, it would probably be Patrick Williams. But at 5.3K, you're not getting a ton of upside with that. You're pretty much maxing out around 35 points.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know. Do you really trust it even at that point? I don't. I guess, like, depending on, like, what the starting lineup looks like, right? Maybe you take shots in tournaments, but overall, I don't see a like, clear cut. This guy has a ton of upside path for him. The Thunder and the Nuggets, no total in this game. SGA remains out. Hill is out. Malden's out. Robbie's questionable. Dozier and Harris remain out for Denver. What are we looking at here on the OKC side of things?
I mean, not a ton. I know they're going to play a bunch of minutes. Like, I know Roby, no one really wants to trust him, but, like, if he's going to play, then I think that he's the one with the most upside. But Diallo, he's 7K. Like, I know he's paid off his price tag for the most part in recent games, but this game could end up being a low blowout. I don't know about him. Horford's probably my favorite at 6.7. I think that he's the most likely one to get you tournament value here. I mean, he's been a little bit up and down, but 34 minutes in the last 2 games. If he's going to play that at his price tag, I think there's definitely some upside there. He'd be the main one I want to go with. Bazley, probably not a guy you want. I know he's played 40 minutes in the last 2, but he's 5.9K, doesn't offer you a ton of upside. Kenrich, probably going to play 35 minutes if this game stays close. I think that he's fine at 5.1K, but again, his price tag is slowly moving towards where it should be, and there's a decent chance of a blowout here. So Horford, I think, is the one you really want to take a shot on.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, I think Diallo is a guy, even at 7K, that, you know, he's just going to play a ton of minutes, especially if Roby ends up sitting again. Bazley, if Roby sits, you know, you mentioned Horford. Horford's coming off of a monster game and, you know, obviously has a ton of upside, just with the usage available, and then Williams for sure. And then on the Denver side of things, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little skittish to play Jokic in this game just because I'm worried about, you know, just the overall potential blowout.
Yeah, no, I mean, if that is a good spot for Joker, it's just, will this game stay close? So I'll play Joker if I'm playing Horford, and that's like one of the few times I've played Diallo over on the other side. Like, the Joker's in for a game stack. MPGA, you can throw in for a game stack. Murray, not the worst idea in the world for a game stack. Outside of that, just fade this game, because if Joker plays and then Horford ends up playing 35 minutes and Diallo ends up playing 35 plus minutes, then I think it's not terrible, but I don't expect this game to stay too close. We don't have a spread for this game. What do you think it's going to pop in at?
9.5?
That was going to be my guess.
Hey, As great minds think alike, right?
Yeah, two smart guys. Two smart guys here.
Milwaukee at Utah, 232.5 total here. Utah favored by 2. Drew and Conley both out here. What are we looking at here for the Bucks?
Middleton, I think, is too underpriced here at 8K. With Giannis, I think you can play. I might slightly prefer Luka. Utah's been a tough matchup. They've obviously played fantastic recently, but you can go with Luka. You can go with – not Luka. You can go with Giannis. You can go with Middleton. You can go with DiVincenzo without Drew Holiday in there. Middleton may have had a rough game the other night, but I still think that he's too underpriced at 8K, considering the guy is going to give you at least 45 points in all likelihood without Drew in there. If this game stays close and has 60-point upside, like, he's gotten a double-double in the last two games here. Like, his assist rate goes up drastically without Drew in there. So he's going to get points. He's going to get dimes. Going to get a few boards. Like, Middleton is by far my favorite, followed by DiVincenzo, followed by Giannis. But I'm also throwing Giannis in there if I'm bringing it back on the other side, because I need this game to stay close if I'm having him in my lineup.
Yeah. You know, obviously, I think Middleton, like you said, with Drew off the floor, Middleton's a huge uptick. And if this game's going to stay close, like, these are the types of games we like to play Giannis in. You know, put up 53 fantasy points the first time these two teams met, coming off of a game where he put up 70 against Phoenix in a game that was really close and competitive. So I kind of like Giannis today, and I don't play him a lot. So I think this is a spot that you can play him. You mentioned DiVincenzo. I want to see what opens up, like, value-wise, right? Like, yeah, he's in play. Like, Forbes is playing minutes too. It's just like, I want to see what opens up as far as, you know, this stuff goes. What are we looking at here on the Utah side?
Absolutely love Mitchell. Like, with Conley still out, I don't know why more people didn't play him the other night. Yeah, without Conley in there, this game stays close. It's still a fairly fast-paced game. I know that Milwaukee's a good defensive team, but they've been giving up a lot of threes throughout the season here. Mitchell's probably going to run the point. This is going to be a fun game regardless, but Mitchell's too cheap at 8.2K. Like, last two games, I think he's running at like 36%, 37% usage rate without Conley on the floor. And just this just gives him a shot for more three-pointers. I love Mitchell. Bogdanovich, Ingles, two guys that are good guys to throw in there as a secondary option. I do not want to play Gobert today. I could see him putting a price tag on 11-game slate. I don't think he's the other guy that I want to throw into a stack. So, like, Ingles and Bogdanovich, they'll still be running the point a little bit. They'll be distributing quite a bit. So both of them are still good plays at the price tag of 5.9, 6.2K. But I love Mitchell in this spot.
Yeah, I like Mitchell a lot in this spot too. Again, like, if you're expecting this game to stay close, like, where's the production going to come from? Donovan Mitchell's been fantastic here over the last couple games without Conley. So definitely like this, man. Like, you look at Mitchell's last two games without Conley, you know, 62 and 56 fantasy points. But, like, you start digging into it more, you see, like, the increase in usage and just the ball in his hands a little bit more. So really like Donovan Mitchell here at 8,200. And I think he's actually a little underpriced. Memphis at LA taking on the Lakers. No total in this game. Bane is out. Clark is out. Triple J is out. Melton's out. Winslow's out. And then the Lakers, just like every day, AD and LeBron are questionable. What are we looking at here from Memphis?
I mean, anytime that Valanciunas might play 30 to 35 minutes, I'll play him. Morant, I know he hasn't been great since he started back up playing again after the little COVID stint, but he hasn't been shooting the ball that well. Like, he's still been contributing in other areas. He's been one assist away from a double-double in two of the last three games. Like, he's starting to come back into it a little bit. He's taking 15-plus shots. And so I think Morant's a decent play even in this tough matchup. His price tag is a little bit too low at 7.1, in my opinion. I think that he's a guy more that I want to bring back going up against or bring back with LeBron, but Valanciunas, Morant are both pretty good plays. Dylan Brooks, I mean, he's fine as a tournament flyer. He's been putting up a decent amount of shots, 13-plus in each of the last five games. So the volume's been there, and in games that stayed close, he's gotten over 30 minutes. So anytime he gets hot from the floor, always a guy that can end up playing pretty well. Kyle Allen, like, he's been putting up decent numbers recently, but he's also been shooting the ball really, really well. In the last game, he shot 10 for 14 from the floor. Before that, 8 for 13 in his last big game. So both those games are just strictly outliers where he absolutely just shot lights out. And so not a spot against the Lakers, obviously not a great spot from a defensive standpoint. So mostly Morant, Valanciunas, and you can throw any of these extra guys in with Melton out, with Clark out, with Jackson still out. Like, you can throw Tillman or any of these cheap guys in at the bottom just because minutes need to be played and there's a lot of injuries right now.
Yeah, like, overall, I think that Valanciunas, like, he was crushing the other night, and he had like 32 points at halftime and ended up with 39. So like Valanciunas a lot here. Gonna continue to play John Morant. I know the big game's coming. He's not killing me anymore. You know, he's so close to having a big game. So gonna continue to play him. You know, obviously the Lakers are gonna really depend on LeBron and AD. I think they both end up playing in this game though.
I wouldn't be surprised if AD ends up sitting again. I mean, I'm pretty sure LeBron plays. He's questionable. But AD, I mean, they sat him out in the last game. It's Achilles. Like, they're going to the playoffs. There's no need to rush him back. Like, why not give him an extra day versus Memphis? So, I mean, it largely just hangs on whether AD ends up playing or not. If AD's in, then not a ton of interest in anyone. LeBron's probably too expensive. AD's probably where he should be. Everyone's just priced how they should be. If AD ends up sitting, then obviously LeBron's in play. No, he had a letdown the other night, but he can still end up crushing this price tag. Kuzma, immediate upgrade. 5.9K is a little bit of a tough price tag to stomach. I know he didn't do great the other night, but he still has 40-point upside. So it all depends on the AD news. If he plays, I'm likely out on everyone except for bringbacks. If he doesn't end up playing, then I think LeBron and Kuz are in play. Maybe even Schroeder.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're just going to have to, you know, see what the injury news looks like for the Lakers. If both these guys play, I think LeBron's in play regardless. Like, he could potentially be a little lower owned if Anthony Davis does play. So, Cleveland at Portland, 222.5 total here. Portland favored by 4.5. Dova, Nance, Love out. Portland's on a back-to-back. They'll be without McCollum, Nurkic. What are we looking at here for Cleveland?
I mean, Garland, Sexton. I'm probably staying away from Allen. Drummond's minutes got just completely slashed the other night. I don't know how much they're going to end up running both of him and Allen together. They cut into each other's minutes. I really can't trust too much, but Sexton and Garland's price tags are way too low in a matchup versus Portland, who's just been terrible on the defensive end. I think this is going to be a closer game because of the fact that Portland is on the second of a back-to-back. We know that they're one of the worst defensive matchups in the NBA, and they run at a decent enough pace that this is going to be a high-scoring game. We know to target Portland. We know how bad they are. So Garland and Sexton at their price tag, both of them are fantastic plays. Outside of that, like, probably not Prince. Like, Jetty, probably not going with him. He's just been down. So Garland, Sexton. Stay away from Drummond. You can play Allen in tournaments if you really want to.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think the guards would be where I would attack this spot. I don't love Drummond in this spot. I know, like, he's a guy that can have big games. So, like, if you're playing, 150 teams, you're MMEing, maybe you get a little bit of exposure to him. And then on the Portland side, it's a back-to-back for Portland. The game, I think, is wrapping up. It was tied the last time I checked.
They're up by 2 now.
Yeah, they're winning by 2. What are we looking at here on the Portland side?
Lillard is always in play. Cantor is always in play. My favorite play is probably Gary Trent Jr. I don't know how he ended up tonight, but still putting up 20 shot attempts a game. I'm just checking how many minutes everyone ended up playing real quick. Gary Trent Jr. didn't do great this last game, but I think he's definitely got some upside. Maybe on the second and back-to-back, we could see Melo play 30 minutes because Cantor played 32, Dame played 36, Gary Trent Jr. played 37. And we'll guess we'll know in a second if this goes into overtime. But Gary Trent Jr. is probably my favorite play, although Lillard is still a little bit underpriced considering his ceiling at 9,800. So just one of the many spend ups that are very much in play, but it's predominantly Trent Jr. and Lillard.
Yeah, I think like Lillard would be my favorite. And outside of that, like if one of these guys gets ruled out on the second end of a back-to-back, maybe I have more interest, but Lillard's really the only guy that I like from Portland here.
So also something interesting, like second end of a back-to-back, I think Lil has been cleared to play. So potentially we could see him, like someone rest and maybe him get some more run. He's at 3-1. I'll have to look into this more tomorrow, like check out what Meansy and everyone else has to say, check out what salary is available and what price savings are available. But I think Little could be interesting. I don't expect him to play like he did that one game where he just shot lights out, but he's definitely someone who's in play in this spot.
We finish it out with Orlando at Sacramento. It's a back-to-back for Orlando. No total in this game. Nobody on Sacramento on the injury report. Magic, 10 o'clock game. Ton of injury news that we're going to be waiting on. What are we looking at here for the Orlando Magic?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know if Cole Anthony's going to play. I don't know if Frank Mason's going to play. I don't know if Fournier's going to play. I don't know if Michael Carter-Williams is going to play. Like, the entire guard situation is a mess. Like, if Cole Anthony plays, then I think he's in play. If Cole Anthony doesn't play and Fournier plays, I think Fournier's in play. If all of them play and Fournier plays, I think that Fournier's in play. If everyone's out, I think Terrence Ross again becomes pretty interesting. I know he put up just a pretty good game tonight, but he also shot terribly. Like, he was throwing up shots constantly. It's a match versus Sacramento, their worst defensive team in the NBA. It's one of the best spots that we look for all the time. Vooch, especially if Fournier and Anthony are both out, even on a second end of back-to-back, should eat up a ton of the usage and becomes one of the best spend-ups on the slate, depending on when we get that information. Enos and Bacon are both fine. I prefer Bacon. He was putting up a decent amount of shots and didn't play a ton. Okiki could end up playing the point, and he's interesting at 3,800, especially on the second end of back-to-back. So essentially what I'm saying is I have no clue because we have no clue who's playing.
Pretty much, right? Like, you know, obviously Vooch is a great play. If everybody's out again, Terrence Ross again, James Ennis again. Outside of that, like, man, it's you're just waiting on news. Like, you're going to have to adjust to the news. Like, Frank Mason probably doesn't play. It was a groin injury for him. Cole Anthony is dealing with like a shoulder strain. Michael Carter Williams has a foot injury. Fournier is dealing with a back injury that he had earlier this season. Like, it is a mess. Outside of like, you know, Vooch on the Kings side of things, like, man, I like De'Aaron Fox, and I know he's had some big games here recently. He's putting up a ton of shots and stuff, but is it just sticker shock, or should we be looking at him here at 9K?
I definitely don't mind him. The problem is he's a little bit hit or miss. He's more of a tournament play, and I think he's more interesting to throw in because we likely won't have news early on, and so we could always make those adjustments later on the night. But I think regardless, he's a decent play. I think Orlando's been pretty good against or pretty bad against the ones, like especially with everyone out or potentially everyone out. It can change things around a whole lot, but overall they're not a great defensive team anyways. Like, they run at a slightly below average pace. Fox, I think, is in play regardless. Harrison Barnes, I think, is in play. Halliburton's in play. Holmes is in play. Like, I like all these guys. I'm done playing Buddy Hyde, even though he's not done terrible recently, but he's still in play for anyone but me. Still putting up 18-plus shot attempts a game. But all these guys are, like, very much in play if this game ends up staying close. I know second and on back-to-back, that's not the most likely thing in the world, but this is Sacramento. So it's going to be a high-scoring game like this. I might stack this game up multiple different ways and then just kind of move things around. The nice thing is you kind of have swaps going from team to team. Like, you can set things up multiple different ways. If Anthony ends up playing and Fournier ends up playing, then you can swap over like Holmes or any of these Halliburton or any of these other guys, and there's kind of bump up salary from someone to someone else because we still have the Portland game, we still have the Lakers game. So you can move things around a whole lot. I'm probably going to stack up each of the last three games and then just switch around my lineup so much because there's so many guys at every single spot. But just the guys on Sacramento, at least, that stand out as good plays. Number one, Fox. Number two, Halliburton. Number three, Barnes. Probably number four, Holmes, just because they'll need him out there a decent amount as long as he can stay out of foul trouble, which is, I know, a big if, but he's a 5.6K. Definitely offers you some upside. And then and Buddy Hyde.
Buddy Hyde, your boy.
Buddy Hyde.
Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here for the weekend. Daytona 500 weekend, man. Super excited for NASCAR. Ton of stuff going on. So if you're playing NASCAR this weekend, make sure you check out NASCAR Premium here. That was totally to delay so I could pull DraftKings back up. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you got?
This is so tough because there's literally like 30 possible plays that you can go with based on who's playing or not playing. I don't really know who to go with right now. I mean, I'll go with Bacon. Let's just go with the assumption that a lot of guys don't play. But if Fournier is playing and if Cole Anthony's playing, then don't play Bacon. I'll just preface it as my pick with that. So don't talk to me when everyone ends up playing and you're like, you told me to play Bacon.
I'm going to go with Raul Nato. We didn't really talk about him much, but he's 4,200. He should play 25 to 30 minutes here with Bradley Beal out. So I'm going to go with him. Why not? He can do it. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
I'll go with Joker. I think this game turns into a blowout real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Karl Anthony Towns. I think it's more of just a minutes, like ceiling type of thing. So I'm going to take him out of there. Favorite 6X play, who do you got?
I mean, I'll go with Donovan Mitchell. Like, I think he's going to crush today.
Yeah, like this is always like super tough when you don't have news. I wish we knew if like Kimba was going to play or not, because I would definitely pick like Pritchard here. I'm going to go with Kevin Huerter. 36 points. Yeah, he's going to do it. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. I had Huerter written down as my let's get weird GPP play, by the way.
I'm going to go with Garland. Is he going to be
like
weird?
No, I like that one. Man, I don't know. Like my initial thought on let's get weird GPP was what I just said. I like Kendrick Williams, but I don't think he'll be low owned here. I'm going to go with Gallinari. I'd be interesting to see what like his like ownership is here. Got increased to 30 minutes last time out. He shot terrible from the field. And I think this Atlanta-San Antonio game is going to be super competitive.
FYI, you know what the line for the Denver game is? I just
9.5.
12.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to make us look smart.
I mean, we weren't that far off. Let's be honest, 9.5 to 12 is not that huge of a difference.
Game selection, anything standing out to you on FanDuel or DraftKings today?
I'm just going to keep saying the same thing. There was about 20K in overlay over on Superdraft, and I gave a lot of that money back.
Yeah, that wasn't good. Why'd you give it back?
Actually, oh, I only lost $140. That's not terrible at all. Apparently, I cashed in all the cash lines.
$10 single entry series tournament over there on FanDuel. Make sure you guys are checking that out. The NBA dime. Give me favorite over under against the spread. Anything standing out to you here?
Knicks are 3.5 point favorites. I think they'll pop up a little bit with that Beal. That seems, even in Washington, that seems a little bit low. So I'm going with them.
Yeah, like I like the over in the Chicago game. That's right. I like the over in the Atlanta game too. I'll go with the Chicago game. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, Grant?
No, just getting ready for bed.
There you go. That's going to wrap it up here for Friday. We'll be back Monday talking some NBA. Hope everyone has an awesome weekend. Good luck, and we'll see you then.
Tickets.